Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley here. It is a holiday week, which is always exciting. People get a couple days off this week. Get to, do what you do on the 4th of July, barbecue, maybe hang out by the pool. We're going to talk in depth about the holidays later. Later this week, we're going to break out our holiday rankings. But today, we're excited. Everybody's here. Tanler's here. What's up, Tanler?
Hey, doing good.
We got Mitch here. Mitchell.
What's up, guys?
Pete is here. Hello, Pete.
Hello, JP and Rich and Mitch.
And, you know, we had a big guest for Friday's podcast in former Super Bowl MVP Mark Rippon. And the only way to follow that up is you go to the top. You go to the stars and you bring John Keim in on the phone. Keim, what's up, dude?
What a letdown for everybody. Hello, everybody.
No way, dude. It's tough because when we're in season, Keim joins us, I don't want to say regularly, but with some regularity.
Yeah, every couple of weeks, every 2 or 3 weeks.
But, you know, when we're out of season, we're all disjointed and Keim lives in West Virginia and, it's hard to make it all work. So today's pod, we have two topics we're really going to dig into. And we're going to start with, I think, Tanler, you wrote about this. Keim, you may have written about this as well. Every Redskin fan is so excited for Darius Geis. But what are realistic expectations for Darius Geis this fall as far as, I think you can go either total yards from scrimmage or rushing yards. And right or wrong, kind of the barometer has become 1,000 yards. And I am not sure that Darius Geis is going to get there. Tanler, tell us what you wrote, what you think is going to happen, and then Keim, you're up after Tanler.
Well, I did the old the casino chips on if he could.
You love the casino chips.
I love the casino chips, too. Yes. Every post should be written like that.
Exactly. Well, I can't do every one like that. But so I came up, I had five ranges, and I don't want to go through all of them. But to sum all up, I have out of $100, what that's 25, that's $75 against about him going below 1,000 yards. So $25 on higher than 1,000 yards. And I got some serious pushback.
Oh, fans are all in. Is,
you know, he can get 1,000 yards in his sleep. And, you know, I look at, you know, really a couple things. You know, opportunity. Here's a guy who was, he was pretty banged up last year. I mean, he didn't miss a lot of games, but, you know, his running style is not really conducive to a heavy workload over a long period of time, which is what you need to get to 1,000 yards. But if he can, you know, break a few long runs, that's what Leonard Fournette did last year. He had a 90-yard run in garbage time against the Steelers, which got him over 1,000 yards. So if he gets a couple things like that, he can do it. But I just don't see Jay Gruden giving him the ball enough over the course of 16 games to average that 62.5 yards per game you need to get to 1,000.
What are we talking about? Probably 15, 16 carries a game?
Yeah.
And before we go to Keim, just so everybody knows, two rookie running backs last season did get over 1,000. Fournette just cracked it, 1,016. And then Kareem Hunt, who was playing with Alex Smith in Kansas City, got 1,258 yards.
Led the league.
Led the league in rushing. So it's doable, but it doesn't happen with the frequency I think a lot of fans believe running backs come in and just take over. Because Zeke did it. You know, I mean, there's kind of a recency bias of rookie running backs having a lot of success.
Jordan Howard actually did the same year.
Yeah, with the Bears.
So right. Four in the last 2 years.
Kime, what say you on 1,000 yards, man?
Well, first of all, don't forget about Alfred Morris a few years ago, too. Came in and set a rushing record for this franchise.
Yeah, and that's a late-round pick, too.
Yes. And so, you know, I have a couple thoughts. And I don't – if I had to put money on it, because the odds are against it, but the things that I would go to – I think, Rich, you bring up a good point about the running style. He's a very violent rushing style, and he was – he did get hurt, or he was playing hurt last year. I think the other part of that too is they do have some other options there to keep him fresh. So if you keep Rob Kelly on the roster, I think they'll use him to spell Darius once in a while. I think that will take some carries away from him, but maybe early on in the season, Chris Thompson will get his work. So I think that will cut into it. But where the benefit for Geis comes, I think if this team is going to be a playoff team, I do think he'll get over 1,000, because I think it will be in part because of the rushing game and the run defense and Alex Smith's penchant for not turning the ball over all that much. I think that kind of plays into his favor as far as getting it. I can see a scenario where, you know, early on, you know, it's classic rookie thing. Early on, maybe a little bit slower, but get some head of steam going and finishes strong. Whether that gets over 1,000, I don't know. Like I said, if they make the playoffs, I think he's got 1,000 yards. If they don't, you know, then I think he'll be under it. But because it is, like I said, like you said, it's very difficult. But I also think that Jay Gruden said this during the spring, that he felt he was like a little bit more explosive than he envisioned. And I think you forget that, like watching him last year as opposed to 2 years ago in college, he was better 2 years ago. He was healthy.
Absolutely.
So if he can stay
and
healthy,
that was backing up Fournette and sharing carries too.
Correct. Yeah. So I think if that's the case, we're going to see a more explosive guy getting bigger chunk carries, which I think would lend itself toward 1,000 yards.
So, Mitch, go ahead. You want to jump in there?
Are we not putting the cart before the horse here, guys? Like, last year, everyone was super excited about Samaje Perine, and
that's exactly who I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Geis is doing a lot more off the field and getting fans more riled up, and he's been awesome for the franchise and the fan base and all that kind of stuff, but we haven't seen this guy have a carry yet, again, in pads. You know, we haven't seen him go up against
still a body of work from college.
And he's a much better player than Perine and a tougher conference, too.
First round talent.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a first round talent. But yes, that's a fair statement. I mean, a lot of guys have come here with some hype and as we know, have not produced.
But here's the one thing I wanted to bring up specific to Perine.
Big 12 versus SEC, big time.
That's not even where I was going, but certainly. But I would say this. Scale of 1 to 10, what are we rating Perine last season? A 4?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this, JP.
How do you think Perine was last season? A 4?
Yeah, 4 or 5, yeah, maybe.
Very mad.
4.5, Kime? Yeah. You with us there?
Yeah, I'm in that range, yeah.
He still had 600 yards rushing last year.
I can't remember one or two good carries he had.
You know what I'm saying?
And totaled that up.
And a lot of that, I think, and this will kind of segue into our next conversation topic about Jay Gruden, but... Now, some of that is Perine got the carries late in the year once Thompson was hurt. Kelly was gone. You know, at some point, who else is going to run the ball?
Right.
But I think the Geis situation, assuming he's healthy, right? Assuming he's capable of playing 14, 15, 16 games and there aren't health questions, I think his yardage total might come down to Jay Gruden and play calling more than it comes down to what Darius is capable of doing. Because I say that because Perine got 600 yards last year. And I think we all think he's better. Go ahead, John.
Don't forget with Perine that he also, you saw him early on. He had a ton to learn about how to run with a quarterback under center, you know, and the patience.
And the fumbling. The fumbling got him off the field.
Right, and it also the patience. There were times where I remember They had two pullers, Niles Paul, and I can't remember who the guard was. He was ahead of Niles Paul. And so he had a more to learn than Darius Geis does coming in. So that would be, you know, but I agree with it, you know, when, but I haven't said that with P-Rod. I remember talking to a guy after the draft last year, one of the players who texted me right away. He's like, this guy could be a first-day starter, meaning P-Rod. So people were high on, you know, there were other people who were high on him going into the season. This is what we saw after the fact. What we see after the fact with Darius, I guess we'll find out in September.
Right. I was going to say the P-Rod stuff, we didn't really see the need for learning until we got to training camp. OTAs, everyone was talking about him bench pressing a billion times, right, and how he looked like a, you know, he looked like he could be.
All of that was true. Dude can bench press.
Yeah. Dude looks good. He just gets tripped up by a piece of hay.
Just one point in the likely under 1,000 in 7 years. Well, that actually makes it about a coin toss. In 7 years as a offensive coordinator and head coach, Gruden has had three guys go over 1,000 yards. Alfred Morris, his first year here, and then Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and Cedric Benson in Cincinnati. None of them made 1,100 yards, so he hasn't given it to hasn't given it to anybody that often. So, you know, I just wonder, and it has been primarily a guy who one guy gets the majority of the carries. He's not really a tandem back kind of guy.
Another, we keep talking about Gruden being a factor. Another factor is Taylor almost breaks a microphone.
Yeah, what was that? Did you just headbutt the mic?
No, I just.
JP, you broke a mic last pod. You can't talk. But the health of the offensive line is going to matter a lot, too, with Trent Williams and Morgan Moses and Brandon Scherff and what's going to be going on at left guard. So that's just one other factor to consider in Geis's future.
Stay with me on this one. I think it's possible Geis allows the Redskins to create kind of an inverted pyramid of the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara situation in New Orleans, because you've got Chris Thompson as your Kamara role, and the Skins have lacked the Mark Ingram role. And I think if you watch Geis, you watch Ingram, they're not dissimilar players. They're not scared of contact. They have a little speed once they get into the open field. They can make a guy miss. And I think being there in the Superdome, and hell, we'll be down there again this fall, I think watching that, you could see the way Gruden uses Chris Thompson, it's so clear the role he has carved out for 25 and really likes. I think he's been looking for the player to complement or play alongside of him, or even play more than, since Alfred left and they thought Matt Jones might be the guy and whatever else happened.
Right, and I think the other thing is when Rich rattled off those names of the rushers under Gruden, none of them were exactly like Pro Bowl. You know, I mean, Alfred was coming down and, you know, so I think going into camp, this would be one of the more talented guys he's had at that position. But I do think it's worth, I think it's worth wondering, will he actually stick with him, but will he give him the ball enough to get that kind of production? But I do think, you know, I think JP, your point is valid. I think like Atlanta has a situation with its two backs, Coleman and Freeman, but New Orleans did a really good job, I think even better, of using those two backs and using them together at times.
Right.
So I think, you know, that'll be fun to watch. But all that, like, I think it's also, don't forget, like, these coaches consider the short pass a handoff. They got a quarterback who likes that, and they have guys who can fill that role. So that's another thing where you'd have to say, you know, how many times is Jameson Crowder getting the ball? Jordan Reed, is he healthy? And is that going to take away from, you know, the desire to run the ball as much as they need to get him to that sort of production?
Based on this conversation, it sounds like you guys are saying the deficiencies in the running game last season were Rob Kelly, not the offensive line.
I think not. Rob was hurt.
How about the past two seasons then?
The year prior to that, Rob went for 700 yards in 9 games.
We compliment him a lot on being able to turn a 2-yard loss into a no gain or a 1-yard gain. He does a good job of moving his feet in the backfield and negating those big negative plays.
I think Gruden's also gotten away from the run too often in the past. But
asking a rookie to come in and immediately be able, you're talking about Mark Ingram, who gets the ball downhill and is able to run people over. Running backs in the Redskins offense haven't had an opportunity to do that.
But you're talking about what what we can argue what we all know what happened, what should have been a first round pick versus an undrafted guy out of Tulane. I think Rob Kelly is very. So the two things I have here is I want to go around the horn, up or down vote. No room for wiggle room, Tandler.
Tandler loves that.
Yeah. I guess I'm the king of wiggle room.
I thought I was binary.
You are binary. All right. Rob Kelly makes this team, helps this team this fall. I say yes.
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 Yeah.
To Kime?
Yes.
Right. He looks a lot better with the pass catching. Maybe he can be a nice backup for Geis if Geis gets hurt. I think he's a good
It was a yes or no, Pete.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wiggle room. I love wiggle room.
I mean, Gruden has talked about loving Rob Kelly, and I think they need somebody that can be an every down guy, and everybody else they have trends towards the third down CT role.
Are we anointing Darius Geis the starter week one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unquestionable.
You should see the eye roll. You should see the eye roll.
Well, let's say this,
John. I wish you could see my eye roll.
Mitch's eyes are rolling pretty heavy here.
I can hear the eye roll.
I think it wouldn't shock me if the first play week one in Arizona, Thompson's on the field or even Kelly's on the damn field. But
that would mean Geis isn't your week one starter.
Oh, my gosh. I think Geis will have the most carries.
I don't think Geis has the most carries weekend.
I'm not going by who's on the field first because that's the
right. Who knows what formation?
I know.
Mitch is just trolling us. You don't think he's the starting running back, Mitch?
I just blocked Mitch.
No, I don't think. I think he might take over the job through the season. And I think it might be a pretty even split early on. I'm not saying, but I don't think he's the main back.
The talent disparity is too great. You can't put him on the bench.
You don't have time to waste with sending a message or saying, "Hey, rookie, learn behind the veterans." Yeah. They gotta get going.
Can I say something that's probably gonna really piss Mitch off?
Please do. Elevator?
No, Pete. Oh. During OTAs and minicamp, when we got to watch Darius Geis, our guy Mitch was hockey Mitching it. You were in Vegas and Edmonton and Winnipeg and wherever the hell else you were.
Fair point.
Is it possible you haven't seen Darius yet?
Sure.
Okay. Could that be a factor in this?
I mean, watching guys run around in t-shirt and shorts really does a lot of good.
Broad panties, as B. Mitch says.
In fairness, Tandler looked pretty good doing that, too.
The helmet was too big, though. I kind of looked a little clunky. Looked like Mike Dukakis.
At the end of the day,
you have any idea?
Don't get that reference one bit.
But I think the key is, like, sometimes with this team, especially with Jay Gruden, you listen to what he says and how much he likes the guy, and it plays out a certain way. And he was talking about with Darius, and he even said with Darius, he showed me what I expected and more. And this is a guy that they had rated as a first round talent. And if the coach is saying that, now I think the key here is, do they trust him as an every down guy? Do they trust him? Like, I don't think it's even a question of his hands if he can catch. It's about the protection skills. Can he go in there week one against a defense that, you know, with Arizona that in the past is like the blitz, all that? Can he handle the protection schemes? I think that may be an issue as to how much he plays early on. And whether he's the full-time guy right away or does it take him a couple weeks to get there? To me, that's the thing to watch this summer.
You're my guy, Kime. You just made my point for me. That's exactly what I'm saying.
He can't hear you because you blocked him.
This is all. Hold on. Just let me make this one point real quick, because it sounds like for the past 5 minutes or 10 minutes of arguing that I'm down on Geis, and it's not that I'm down on him. I just think it takes some time for a college player to turn into an NFL player and to ingratiate himself into an offense, especially when you have two running backs there who know the offense inside and out.
Integrate.
Hashtag hater.
All that is fair. I would say he's a different level running back. Something very creepy just happened in the podcast studio. The lights just flickered. It seemed like the apocalypse was upon us for a second.
Building is falling apart.
As long as you're not in an elevator.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Up or down vote. No wiggle room. Kime, we start with you. 1,000 yards rushing for Darius Geis this season.
Oh, man.
And I'll give you, Kime, I'll give you playoff games towards his total.
Well, then, yeah.
So you've got him in the playoffs, and guys.
Let's see, first round, divisional, championship, plus Super Bowl. That's four games.
And then Pro Bowl, because he'll go there, too.
Not if he's in the Super Bowl.
No, he'll go to both. That's how good he is.
So, Kime, up or down vote, 1,000 yards rushing for Darius Geis.
God bless it. I'm going to go.
Wiggle room.
I'm in on this guy, so I'll say yeah.
Ooh, why not? Juicy. Pete.
Sorry, yes. Mitch. I will say yes.
Hockey Mitch.
If you include preseason, yes.
Give me a real answer. 1,000 yards.
No.
Tandler.
No.
I think 850. I say no as well. All right. That's a fun one. We got to keep track of that.
Dinner bet. I'll change my answer in August, though. Don't worry. Yeah.
Well, dude, that's Kyle,
don't
thing.
Be worried that you're with Pete in your answer. Don't be worried about that at
the most.
Many
the
have survived that before. Taylor has many a time, so you'll be okay.
All right. So
JP had 54 players making the roster, so.
In June, I did. Or May. My 54-man roster projection will be out in late August.
It's a one-man practice for
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Taylor, we'll go a little quicker. Tell us about the list where Jay Gruden was, where he was ranked and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was on NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just didn't really set it up much. Just here are the best. Obviously, they had Bill Belichick first.
Go, and you don't say.
Yeah, I know. And went down. Jay Gruden was 18th. And at first that struck me as maybe being a little bit low. But, you know, I mean, that's right. Middle of the pack. I mean, 16 would be directly in the middle of the pack. They were 7-9 last year, so they're drafting 13th, so that would, you know, that puts you about right there. So I
Sean
think,
Payton too, huh?
Yeah, I thought, yeah, you know, and until you said Pete Carroll, I'm not necessarily a big fan of his. I think we need to see results with it kind of.
John Gruden gets ninth.
Yes,
John Gruden hasn't coached in a,
and he wasn't that good the last few years. He did
right.
No,
I tell you what, man.
But I think
that was funny, Pete.
I do think 18th was just about fair. You know, maybe you could argue.
Wow.
A
so
or something.
McVay is behind Gruden.
John Gruden.
John Gruden. Yeah.
McVay
excuse
at 13.
That.
Where's Kyle Shanny?
Wow. This is sorry. This is oh, bad.
Anthony Lynn is a spot ahead, Jay. I'm surprised Kyle Shanny's.
Wait a minute. Anthony Lynn is
yeah.
ahead of him.
Oh. Kyle Shanahan's 23rd.
That's weird because he has Garoppolo, who's like the fourth best quarterback of all time,
right?
According to these
Man,
lists we've
this
been
is
reading.
A, who made this? Is this just
is this
some
an intern
dude's list?
This is probably the NFL.com's version of Pete.
Elliot Harrison, NFL.com analyst.
That's the NFL's version
where,
of Pete.
Where is like Jason Garrett on this one?
Above Jay, a couple spots.
I'll tell you. All right, so let's just go through the top 10. All right.
15 for Jason Garrett.
Belichick 1, Peyton 2, Carroll 3, Tomlin 4, John Harbaugh 5, Mike McCarthy, who almost got fired this time last year, 6.
And he has no ears either, if you look at him from straight on.
Andy Reid 7, Doug Peterson 8. How the hell can Andy Reid be ahead of Doug Peterson
Doug
right
Peterson
now?
Is wildly underrated.
How can he just won a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback? John Gruden 9. Mike Zimmer, who I like, 10 with the Vikes. Dan Quinn, who I like with the Falcons, 11. Ron Rivera, that's a heck of a call there. 13, McVay.
Marone is
Doug Marone, 14. Jason Garrett, 15. B.O.B., Bill O'Brien, 16. Anthony Lynn, a spot ahead of Jay Gruden, I find pretty remarkable. Gruden at 18.
Read the explanation for Gruden. What's it say?
Yeah, I'll read this. I haven't read this yet, so here we go. Gruden's time in the league sure has been eventful. The RG3 debacle, taking Washington to the postseason, then watching the Kirk Cousins franchise tag soap opera take place every offseason. It's all contributed to make Gruden's time with the Redskins quite stressful. So far, so...
Hours too.
Yeah. As did last season's injury parade, which torpedoed any hopes of Washington making the most of Cousins' swan song with the organization. Sympathy for that completely decimated offensive line and experience are the only reasons Gruden sits above McDermott on this list. He's talking about Doug McDermott with the Bills.
Nope, that's Sean. That's a basketball player.
Sean McDermott. Is that Dougie McBuckets? Oops, botch. Can't wait to see how this offensive mind of coach works with Alex Smith. So we'll go around. Taylor, you found it. You start 18 for Jay Gruden. Too high, too low, just right.
Just about. Or maybe a notch or two. You know, Anthony Lynn, maybe you should be ahead of him. But again, this seems to have a certain recency bias to it, except for Doug Peterson. But, I think it's fair. Guy's gone about 300 the last 3 years. He should be in the middle of the pack.
Mitchell.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a little low. I think he's on par with the rest of the division outside of Doug Peterson. So I think he's right about where he
should be. Yeah, and we don't know much about Shermer yet in New York. I think I'd take Jay over Garrett.
Definitely.
Would you guys?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like
Kime, they have Garrett over Jay.
Right.
Yeah, I Garrett did have a
13-3 year, right?
So I think that would separate him in their mind. I wonder what Jay's Gruden's ranking will be when Geis runs for over 1,000 next year.
And you have to factor in Trey Quinn's arrival as well.
You're including the preseason, right, John?
I think it's about right. I mean, listen, and you can quibble like the 15, 16, 17, 18, who belongs where, but for Gruden, you got, 4 years and no playoff win. That's a big thing. I mean, we all, Kirk Cousins got knocked for that. And I think, the head coach is going to get knocked for that.
Yep.
That's how coach is going to get measured by. And so I think that's probably a reason why he's sitting at 18. And I'd have to say that that's the range where you'd have to put him right now. I mean, the funny thing is, I actually think that the coaching staff did a pretty decent job last year, given all the injuries. And I didn't think they were this ultra talented team to begin with, where you go into the season figuring they're a 9-7 team. If you had presented me with the scenario of all the injuries, what would happen? I think, God, it's 4-12, 5-11 at best. And so for them to get 7 wins, did a pretty good job, but I don't have a problem with him being right in that middle range because again, playoff wins, you got to get some.
I don't have a problem with it either, but it is interesting because we just talked about how Gruden was on a list to be the fifth most likely head coach fired in the NFL, and the rest of those coaches are at the bottom of this one kind of group together. So it seems like they view Gruden as an average coach, but they also view his position as a more precarious one than an average coach.
You got to remember with those odds, it's also what people will bet on. And there's the national perception, they're going to fire the Redskins.
Yeah. And this also feeds into your just more national disrespect for the Redskins on every level of every player, coach, whatever.
I agree with all that. I think Gruden's about the right spot. You can argue up a little maybe, but I think for a while the Redskins coach has been in that 25-32 range. And I think it says something probably kind of to your point about the job he did last season, not having things totally fall apart, even though, they put up a total stinker for the second year in a row, week 17 against the Giants, stuff like that. But I think he held them together somewhat in the midst of just a terrible injury-riddled season, and I think it's about right, honestly. I don't have a big quibble with 18 for Gruden. I think if they have a good year, say every dice, every break goes their way and they win 11 games. I was going to say every dice roll, and then I switched. Say they win 11 games and everything breaks their way. I think Gruden would immediately on list next year pop to 10 because he's liked around the league. And Pete's dumbass is going to eat Cheetos while we're recording a podcast. Can you hear that noise, dummy?
Sorry.
That's Cheetos?
Yeah, that's Cheetos.
Cheetos, man.
Sponsorship.
At least they're the crunchy ones and not the puffy ones, but still.
I think after like 7 or 8, there's like the 8-20 range, every coach is kind of equal.
All right.
My take.
Hey, just remember Jim Zorn started 6-2. He would have been top 5 on that season.
Stay medium, Mitch.
Hey, I'm under my Z shade.
And maroon and black.
I would have had Mike Zimmer a little bit higher on that list.
I like him a lot. And
Doug Peterson, man, that's he's got to be.
Doug Peterson just won a ring.
He's got to be top 3 to me.
Who was he behind?
Dude, he's
number 8.
Yeah.
He was just in front of John Gruden, right?
Yeah, John Gruden's 9, Doug Peterson's 8. He's immediately behind Andy Reid, Mike McCarthy, John Harbaugh. All right, at least everybody ahead of him besides Andy Reid has a ring.
The John Gruden thing almost ruins the list entirely.
But, you know, the funny thing is, like, with McCarthy, he's certainly going to get knocked in Green Bay because they haven't won more with the guy that you would consider the best quarterback.
An all-time great.
Not the best. Yeah, I mean, he's clearly one of the top two quarterbacks right now, and they, you know, they just haven't done enough. And, you know, whether it's the defense or whatever, and this is the one thing that, to me, is underrated with head coaches, is who are you filling your staff out with? And I think, like, with the Redskins, one thing I like that they did last year is you have guys like Tom Sula coming in. And, you know, I think it seems to be that players like Minuski,
Callahan,
not just like him as a person, but like him as a coach.
Yep.
But getting a guy like Tom Sula, that makes you a better coach.
And I think Tom Sula is the easy one to celebrate because he's kind of a name. But I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I think the flip side is that he went and found Torian Gray, and that was a little bit of rolling the dice. You're bringing a guy out of the college game, and, you know, they have Hokie ties, and certainly Tandler preaches Hokie this and Hokie that. But it's not just getting Tom Sula, who's a slam dunk. It's also developing your own guys and finding guys.
Careful, John lives like 20 minutes away from Virginia Tech, so he might be turning into a Hokie.
Closer to Morgantown.
I live far from there now. If you said West Virginia, then okay.
Well, yeah. And here's
take
another
one.
Gruden, Kevin O'Connell. Is everybody hearing the whispers about Kevin O'Connell now? You talk about the cart and the horse.
Where's Kevin O'Connell on this head coaching list? Yeah, exactly. Is he in there?
He's just behind Kyle Smith on the general manager list.
Yeah.
Guy, we're up against the clock here, dude. I wanted to thank you very much for coming on. You get the floor, dude. You have as much time as you want. You can say nothing. You can say goodbye, or you can tell us how Ohio State's looking this year. Whatever you want to do.
As a Terp, we don't want to hear about Ohio State.
You'll hear enough about them for a few months. What I want to say is how sorry I am about Mikey D, because, you know, I don't think people realize when you work with people, even if they're not at your company, you get to know them and you get, you know, they're part of where you work. And Mikey D was certainly a presence for us, for me, for everybody outside of Redskins Park. And I always, you know, I told JP this a few days ago, like, to me, he's kind of like a big cartoon character, you know, had that gruff exterior, the ball, you know, he's bald and all that, but a character. And it's people like that that kind of make this beat enjoyable when you get to know people from other outlets and you get to, you know what I mean? So like,
absolutely.
And so I don't think, you know, and I also say that the behind the scenes people bring everything to life for everybody else because, you know, the TV stars like JP don't have anything going if you don't have good cameramen, you know what I mean? So I just think that there's something that people should know about what you guys do, but also just what, you know, the impact of a lot of people out at, you know, that even if you don't work with them directly, the impact they can have and just how much they add to the pleasure of being out there, because it can be a crazy beat and a crazy job. But when you have people you like that you work around, even for other outlets, it makes it a lot more enjoyable. And Mikey D was certainly part of that.
I thank John for bringing that up. Mikey D was our guy. He spent a good 15 years at our station and others covering the Washington Redskins before he took over hockey full time. We're going to miss him.
Absolutely. And Kime reached out to me after he heard the news. I think he reached out to you, Mitch. I'm sure there were others. It's Richmond's going to be weird, man. It's going to be hard to go to training camp. And Kime, thank you for saying that. And thank you for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and take us out. As always, you made it this far. Thank you very much for listening. I owe you a beer.